We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me now, intrepid Sacramento Kings reporter Chris Biederman. We're going to preview the 49ers-Packers divisional round matchup. And of course, we will have prize picks for you as well. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about our friends at Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. You can follow them on Twitter, at SGLambChops. You may notice that they're posting a lot about the Minnesota Timberwolves and that they have apparel with Minnesota Timberwolves logo on it. That's because they have partnered with the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves saw what they were doing with the Candlestick Chronicles podcast, and they said, wow, we need to get in on that if we want to rise to the level of Blue Wire's 49ers pod, or one of Blue Wire's 49ers pods, and they jumped on board. So, obviously, the guys at Lamb Chops put in a ton of work. Jordan, Craig, all the guys over there, great job. I'm just saying we laid the foundation. You're welcome. Like we did anything.
Right. Right. Yeah. Their partnership with us clearly set the template for what the Timberwolves clearly wanted. They said, look, you guys have obviously worked with a brand of immense popularity and power. Mm-hmm. We'd love to tap into that with you guys and collaborate with you on a line for the Timberwolves. So I'm glad the guys at Lamb Chops were able to leverage their relationship with us and build it into, an opportunity to work with an NBA team. So kudos.
Yeah, it's big time for them and more big time for us, honestly. So no, just really, really cool. Check out the collection, like I said, at SG Lamb Chops on Instagram. It is unbelievable. I don't believe you can get it on their website. I think it's exclusively in the Timberwolves team store, but it's really, really cool. The hoodie, there's a hat that's really dope. There's a pair of sweats, obviously our favorites. And then there's a Letterman jacket as well. And they also have all that in their fall and winter collection, which you can get at sglambchops.com. And again, it's t-shirt, sweatpants, hoodie, Letterman jacket. It's just a really, really good line. And we love Lamb Chops. It's comfortable. It's high quality. It looks dope. And we know those are the three most important elements of clothing. So join the herd today. Hit up sglambchops.com. Use promo code Candlestick20 for 20% off.
In addition to having zipper pockets.
Well, I figured it. I mean, at this point, if you don't know about the zippered pockets, that's on you. Like, that's you problem. Right. All right. sglambchops.com. Promo code Candlestick20, 20% off your order today. We're also sponsored by Cooper's Brewing. We love Cooperage. I can't wait for the game on Saturday because I'm not making the trek down to Santa Clara. Instead, I will be posted up with my pops. I know they've got Candlestick Chronicles in their fridge at my parents' house, and I'm not going to clear them out, but I'm going to have a couple Candlestick Chronicles hazy IPAs from Cooperage Brewing. You can get yours at cooperagebrewing.com. You can order a case if you're 21 and over and in the state of California. Ship a case right to your front door. You sign for it. You have 24 beers in the crib. It's the best way to acquire beer.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're going to be podcasting after the game regardless. So more than a couple Candlestick Chronicles hazy IPAs. You might be a little too loose for this program. That said, we have been more than a couple deep when we've had our live shows at Cooperage, which have obviously been super fun. But yeah. We want to make sure the analysis stays on point after the game Saturday. So yeah, a couple would probably be fine, but probably no more than that. But Cooperage, you go on their website, you can get a Lagerlife mix case. You could mix and match any of their beers. Kurt Pale Ale is back. If you know, straight murked hazy IPA, cold IPA. You can get a strawberry watermelon and mint sparkle pants hard seltzer 4-pack. You can get a mellow sunshine wheat ale, Granddaddy Terp West Coast double IPA 4-pack. It's all amazing beer. It's your favorite brewery's favorite brewery. And shout out to Cooperage for being supportive. And of course, get the Candlestick Chronicles hazy IPA and send us pictures from your tailgate from Levi's Stadium on Saturday. If you bring Candlestick Chronicles hazy IPA to your tailgate, I promise you, you will be the envy of all your friends. They'll be like, wow, that is the best possible beer anybody could ever have at a 49ers tailgate.
Unless one of your friends only likes shitty beer, in which case they'll be like, oh, well, never mind. I don't like that. I'm not that, but that person shouldn't be your friend anymore. So that's
sure.
Break up with that person. Cooperagebrewing.com is the website. The brewery's in Santa Rosa. Go check it out if you can. Great place to hang out. Good beer. Great vibes. Always got a good food truck.
It'll probably be a great place to watch the game on Saturday also.
Great point.
If you're in Santa Rosa.
It's a great point. Or if you're looking for somewhere to watch the game, hit them up.
Yeah.
All right. Cooper's Brewing. Cooper'sBrewing.com. Let's talk Niners Packers.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
I did like a deep dive on 49ers-Packers playoff history for Niners Wire. You can check it out at NinersWire.com. A brief history of the 49ers-Packers playoff matchups. I don't think I ever like fully grasped just how much the Packers kicked the holy shit out of the 49ers in like the mid to late 90s.
Every time
they matched up, it was just not close.
It was a thing for sure. That's one of the reasons why the Terrell Owens catch was so impactful, because it felt like the 49ers really struggled with the Packers for a while in the playoffs.
So the TO catch is like my first very vivid football memory. And I remembered that so vividly because they met the 96, 97, 98, 99. They played four playoffs in a row. And I remember that being such a big deal because they couldn't beat the Packers, but I only knew that like in the context of what the people around me were saying. I didn't have a recollection of that. I also forgot. I remembered the Jerry Rice fumble on the last drive. I didn't remember that being on the last drive, but it definitely was. And then Steve Young nearly threw an interception two plays before the touchdown to Terrell Owens.
He threw a crazy ball game.
Craig Newsom was in his hands and he dropped it.
Yeah, man. I was at that game. I remember that being, gosh, I had to be, what year was that? 97?
99. January of 99.
Oh, 99. Okay, so I was 12 years old. We had been going to Niner games for 5 years to that point. Mm-hmm. That was like the most, between that and the NFC Championship game against the Cowboys in the winter of 95, mm-hmm. was easily the most joyous I remember Candlestick Park being. Yeah. Like that was, that like people were, because it was a pretty frustrating game, right? You remember Terrell Owens had dropped a bunch of passes.
Oh, yeah, he had a fumble.
It was kind of like, yeah, and it was kind of like one of those oh no games, right? Like this, it didn't really feel like the 49ers were winning that game. And then they kind of pulled it out, and it was jubilation because of just how the game went. It wasn't one of those games where the Niners were, you know, it was back and forth and both teams were playing great. The Niners just weren't playing very well. And it was like, man, are they going to lose to the Packers again? And then, you know, so many bad things had happened with the TO drops and everything like that. And, you know, if there was instant replay at that point, that Jerry Rice fumble probably counts and the 49ers probably lose.
Definitely counts. But there was way fumbled
there. Right. There was no replay at that point. So it was, the Niners ended up having the opportunity to score and win the game there, but it was just like a sigh of relief that they won that game. And it was because of their issues that they've had with the Packers previously. So that was definitely one of the more memorable games I've been to growing up as a kid.
It's funny because there's like a generational divide among 49ers fans and how they feel about Green Bay. Because I think if you're, let's see, so you are, how old are you? 34, 35? Fine. 36, you know what? Bro. Screw you if you don't want to say it. I'm 33. I feel like if you are my age, let's go. If you're 35 and younger, you more view the Packers via the last four matchups, right? Where the 49ers have just kind of owned that. Where if you're 36 or older, you very much remember 96, 97, 98, and then 2002 as well, where the Packers just kind of owned the rivalry. They won four out of the first five. And there's not like a, I don't even know the word, not I guess like a respect for the Packers that doesn't exist for people who are 35 and younger, because all they've ever seen is the Niners dominate in the postseason against them. Whereas if you're older than that, you have memories of Brett Favre and Dorsey Levins and Leroy Butler and Craig Newsome just killing those guys. And that I think is a really fascinating aspect of this to me. But
yeah, anyway, yeah, I agree.
Another chapter.
You sort of have, yeah, that's a good point. You had like Packers dominance in the 90s and then the Niners dominance in the aughts and 2020s so far.
This is the 10th time they've played in the playoffs, which is a lot, like historically. And all of them have been since 1996.
Well,
that's kind of it feels unavoidable. They're going to run into each other in the postseason eventually.
I had a thought earlier today because I was thinking about this game and how eerily similar it feels to the 2019 divisional round game where the Niners played the Vikings. And, you know, the Packers are the similarities are, you know, the Vikings that year were the sixth seed. This was before there were seven seeds in the NFC playoffs. The Vikings in the wild card round went and beat the 13-3 third seed Saints on the road. And it was an overtime game. It wasn't a blowout like the Packers just. Yeah, in 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It wasn't like the blowout that the Packers had in Dallas last week, but it was pretty stunning from the standpoint that nobody expected Kirk Cousins to ever really win a road playoff game, right?
Yeah, especially in New Orleans.
So yeah, exactly. And that Vikings team was the last seed in the NFC, like the Packers are the seventh seed this year. And then the Niners ended up winning pretty handily, despite Jimmy Garoppolo not having all that great of a performance and throwing that late second quarter interception that set up a Vikings field goal. I think Jimmy Garoppolo went 11 of 19 in that game and had 100, you know, some not super impressive.
He had a very Jimmy total. Stat line.
Very Jimmy stat line. And you forget Tevin Coleman had 22 huge carries game. And scored a couple of touchdowns in that game. But part of me was like thinking about this game, the fact that it's the Packers, like I was going through the thought exercise of like, what would it take for the Niners to just not really show up and like be upset and take the Packers for granted, whatever. I kind of think if the Packers, this, like if Jordan Love was quarterbacking this team and it was the same roster, but it was like a random team, like if it was the Carolina Panthers,
sure.
I almost feel like the Niners would be more likely to be upset if it was just like a random franchise that they don't really have any association with. But because it is the Packers and there is like that history, and you know, there's the green and yellow and like everything like that, I'm like, no, they're going to be up for this game. They're like, I don't see any scenario in which the 49ers aren't up for this game, particularly because like it's a veteran team, right? The Packers are the youngest team in the league. They're rested. This team is like incredibly frustrated by the fact that they haven't won a Super Bowl yet since Kyle Shanahan's been there. And my lean is that this looks kind of similar to the first home playoff games the 49ers have had when they've had home playoff games in 2019 and 2022, when they pretty much throttled the Vikings, right? Despite Jimmy Garoppolo not playing particularly well. And then in 2022, when they just, you know, beat up on the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like this is sort of trending that direction. And going back and thinking about the 2019 game against Minnesota, and Minnesota having the big upset on the road and then being humbled in a pretty big way going against the number one seed, that kind of feels like where this is headed for me.
Yeah, maybe. I definitely don't think that's off the table. Gosh, I'm looking at the box score from that Minnesota game. Minnesota had 147 total yards, and 41 of them came on a blown coverage by Akella Witherspoon on a 41-yard touchdown in the first quarter. Outside of that, they had 106 total yards. Oh, God. Tevin Coleman, 105 yards, 11 was his long on 22 carries. Like, that's just methodical. On. Like, what a beatdown. Anyways, I don't think it's necessarily going to go like that, because frankly, I think that this Packers offense is better than that year's Vikings offense.
True.
And I think Matt LaFleur is a way better coach than Mike Zimmer. So I think that Green Bay is going to have a little bit more for San Francisco than Minnesota did that year, or that Seattle did last year. But also, I've been hearing a lot on podcasts and then listen to some sports talk radio stuff, that there's this notion of, well, the Packers just don't know what they don't know. The Packers don't know that they're not supposed to. So that's going to, I get that to an extent. And I think there's something to that, but also eventually like the playoff experience thing wins out. There's a reason a rookie quarterback's never won a Super Bowl. There's a reason that, I know it's cross sport, but I think it still applies. When you looked at the Sacramento Kings last year, your Sacramento Kings. When you looked at the Sacramento Kings last year, it was like, man, they're good, and this is a nice run, and they're a three seed, and they earn the heck out of it. But beating a team like the Golden State Warriors in a 7-game playoff series is not going to be easy, because the Warriors have been there. And I think you saw the Kings the first two games. Hey, you don't know what you don't know, but then it gets tight. Then the pressure's on. And maybe Green Bay comes out, and they get the ball first, and they go down. They have a great plan, and they score. And then maybe the Niners turn it over, and the Packers score again. It's 14-0. All of a sudden, it snowballs again. And the Niners are playing from behind, and it gets, you know, it gets a little sideways on them. Maybe that happens. But to your point, and I think it's a great one, this is a team that the 49ers have gone toe-to-toe with. Yeah, it's a lot of different guys, but they just watched the Packers throttle the Cowboys on the road. And I think that's helpful. I think it helps that the Packers didn't win 17-13 on a couple of fluky turnovers and a muffed punt and a bad call. And they just went in and they kicked the holy shit out of the Cowboys. And I think that if you're like, seriously, what was the final? 48-32, and it wasn't that close.
I mean, they were up 27-0 at one point.
Yeah, and it's a 16-point win in a game that wasn't as close as the final score, like that to me, like that's going to catch your attention. I think we've heard that from the way the 49ers have talked about the Packers all week. Like, there's a healthy respect for Matt LaFleur, and it's impossible. Like, Jordan Love hasn't been good the last 2 weeks. Jordan Love's been good for the last half of the season. 21 touchdowns and one interception is excellent. Aaron Jones has hurt the 49ers in the past. I don't think that this is going to be something where the Niners think that they're going to toss their helmets on the field and win. But conversely, you know, like I said, I think there's a path where the Packers just kind of go in and give themselves a positive game script where they're able to follow what they did against the Cowboys. I'm not saying they'd blow the Niners out necessarily, but we haven't seen the 49ers come back yet this year. And I just all of this is to say, I think Green Bay is going to put up a better fight than Minnesota did in 2019, or even Seattle did last season.
Yeah, maybe. I just think win, for the majority of the season, we talked about the Niners as like potentially a historically great team, whether it was early on in the year when they started off really well. And I made the case that this was the best roster the team's had since 94. And we had Aaron Schatz on the podcast, a DVOA god. And he basically made the case that the Niners were the best team from a DVOA perspective since the undefeated Patriots in 2007. Mm-hmm. I just think that this is still that 49ers team, right? Mm-hmm. And like, the Ravens loss definitely knocked them down a couple pegs, but the Ravens loss didn't change in my opinion, what the ceiling of this team is. Mm-hmm. Right? Like the Ravens loss happened and the Niners played poorly and turned the ball over and the game got away from them. But to me, it doesn't change the ceiling that this could still potentially be one of the best teams in franchise history. And now, you know, coming off the bye, you remember how sharp they were in Jacksonville coming off the bye, mm-hmm. right? And they're healthy. They get Eric Armstead back. They get Jair Brown back. They get Christian McCaffrey healthy, right? They have their offensive line more intact than it was at any point during the second half of the regular season when it felt like they were shuffling their guard situation throughout. Mm-hmm. I just think that, like, there's going to be an opportunity for the 49ers to reassert themselves. It's like, oh yeah, no, this is like a really, really good team. Mm-hmm. And the Packers are a nice story. But they could score points, and Jordan Love could give the 49ers defense maybe more of a problem than I'm giving him credit for right now. Mm-hmm. But at some point, like, if this team is historically great, in the divisional round against the number 7 seed with a first year starting quarterback and the youngest team in the NFL, like, the 49ers should win by double digits. Like, if the 49ers lost, or if the 49ers lost, obviously that would be a huge upset. But if they won, like, I would be surprised if it was just a one score game. Like, I'm expecting it to be one of those games like we saw throughout the season where it was, you know, they get up by two scores in the second quarter. They score a touchdown early in the third quarter. And then from there, they're just like, you know, playing keep away. And it's Elijah Mitchell, you know, getting in the game and they're saving Christian McCaffrey a little bit. I just don't know that defensively the Packers have much for the 49ers offense.
Yeah. And that's so I want to talk about Jordan Love in a second. But that's the thing I keep coming back to. When I was rewatching some of the Cowboys-Packers game, it's just the Packers had nothing for them offensively, like particularly on the ground. They were really one-dimensional, even before they got down by a million points and had to put it in the air 60 times.
The Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah, the Cowboys were. And I don't think that's going to be the case with the 49ers. And Joe Barry, the Packers defensive coordinator, was much maligned going into that Cowboys game because the Packers defense was struggling and the Cowboys just couldn't take advantage. And I think we see the 49ers maybe take advantage of that in some ways that Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys offense were not able to. And that's kind of what I keep coming back to, where I think the Packers benefited a lot from the game script against Dallas. And I don't think the Niners offense is going to give them that opportunity the same way the Cowboys did. And every time I go, man, Aaron Jones playing really well. And then Jordan Love, man, he really good in structure, really good out of structure. I go, oh, the Cowboys gave up 200 plus rushing yards 5 times this year. Packers gave up 200 plus rushing yards 5 times this year. And if there's any coach in the league that's going to figure out how to exploit your bad run defense, it is Kyle Shanahan. And I don't think there is a team more equipped to take advantage of a bad run defense than the 49ers. So, like I said, while I laid out the path to, oh, yeah, hey, Packers up, so they could hit it realistically. And I think the Cowboys game from a defensive standpoint for Green Bay was more of an anomaly than anything. And that's what I keep coming back to.
Can I talk about Jordan? No, I just don't think the Packers, like the big issue is going to be the Packers defense. I just don't think that they're going to.
Oh, the big issue for the Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, can they come up with three or four stops consecutively? Like, I don't know. Jordan Love though, real quick. So, you know how coaches will get asked like, hey, what did you see on film from player X? How do you slow him down? And they'll give some, you know, well, it's a really good player. You know, we're definitely not taking him lightly. We got to be sound fundamentals in all phases, blah, blah, blah. Steve Wilks dropped a little bit of truth on about Jordan Love when he got asked about him. He said, quote, well, I think asked about stopping Jordan Love and kind of slowing him down since he's been so good. Over the last nine games, 2,400 yards, 21 touchdowns, one interception. So Steve Wilks got asked about slowing him down, and he said, quote, well, I think the number one thing is we have to try and stop this run to try to make them one-dimensional. They're very effective running the ball. I think it just opens up the play action. That's where you see him being extremely effective in taking the shots down the field and finding an open receiver. So that's number one. And he went on to say some other stuff, but I wanted to look that up because I wanted to go, okay, is that just a coach just picking play action and saying like, yeah, we got to stop the run and do this. And, but then I went and looked. It was according to Pro Football Focus. Jordan Love this year, out of play action, completing 72.4% of his throws. He averaged 9.7 yards per attempt and had 11 touchdowns with three interceptions. That was the 10th high. He was the 10th highest graded passer out of play action this season, according to PFF. On straight dropbacks, no play action, Love's completion rate dips to 61.9%. His yards per attempt goes to 6.6, and he went 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. So to that point, if the 49ers go down and score and get a stop and then score again, where they're eliminating the threat of play action or eliminating the need to react to play action, Jordan Love becomes, again, he's not terrible, but he becomes a lot more pedestrian. And that's where I think the Niners can really take advantage if they can get a positive game script on their side. And if they do, I think what you laid out in that Minnesota game and just how the 49ers can kind of take over a game, that's, I think, pretty easily attainable given what we've seen from Jordan Love so far in play action versus not.
Yeah.
End of thought.
Yeah, No, I think that's a really good point. And it's sort of like if there is a chink in the armor of the Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay offense, it might be that sometimes they're a little too reliant on the running game and how it impacts the passing game in that way.
Yep.
And I think honestly, that's a reason why that's sort of why Sean McVay viewed Matt Stafford as a differentiating type quarterback for his system. Because if you need to win a game where your quarterback drops back 50 times and is not utilizing play action, Stafford can be that guy. And that's one of the questions that we probably have about Jordan Love at this point, based on the numbers that you just laid out and what Steve Wilks said. Mm-hmm. And also, like, what, you know, questions about Brock Purdy. We talk about the 49ers not really proving that they can come back when they're trailing, right? Because Brock Purdy just hasn't done it yet. Mm-hmm. And that could be a function of like how effective the 49ers offense is when defenses really have to try to stop the run, and why the 49ers are so good playing from ahead, because they'll chew clock and try to run the ball. And then obviously they can burn defenses over the top by utilizing play action and things like that. Yeah. So I think that's a good point. You know, if the 49ers do get ahead early, and I would imagine that'll be one of your keys to the game on Twitter, you know, score early.
Oh, score early, score often.
Along with turnovers and red area.
Dude, how'd you know?
We're great football minds. Always.
We've been grinding the same tape. Yeah, that makes sense.
No, but like I was looking at, you know, thinking back to, and switching up the conversation a little bit, thinking back to the 2020 draft. So the 49ers trade DeForest Buckner. They get the 13th pick in the first round for the Colts. They have Javon Kinlaw on their board, and they move back one spot with Tampa Bay, who takes Tristan Wirfs. Mm-hmm. And I talk about, you know, the sliding doors moment of what if the 49ers had just taken Tristan Wirfs, stayed at 13 instead of Javon Kinlaw. The problem with that is by moving back a spot, they got one of the fourth round picks that they that allowed them to trade up to where were they at from 31, I think, to 25 to get Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
So they get Brandon Ayuk at 25, and there's been reporting since then, and this is obviously a little bit dated at this point, but there was reporting since then that they had to jump the Packers, who were picking at 26, because the Packers really wanted Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
And then the Packers end up taking Jordan Love 26 overall. And you just think about that sequence of events and like the impact it has on the history of both teams and where these teams are right now. Mm-hmm. Had the Packers drafted Brandon Ayuk, like, what does that look like for Aaron? Like, Brandon Ayuk might have been, I don't know that he would have been Justin Jefferson in Green Bay, but like, you team up Devontae Adams with Brandon Ayuk, and maybe Aaron Rodgers feels a lot different about, you know, the supporting cast and doesn't feel as disgruntled and force his way out eventually, right?
You mean if and they drafted maybe a weapon Niners... for him instead of his replacement?
Right, exactly. And then, and so like, how does that impact history? Like, do the Packers with Brandon Ayuk end up beating the 49ers in a playoff game? And does Aaron Rodgers get another? Like, that's, you know, we can't rule it out, because there was a point when the 49ers were playing the Packers that their corners weren't great. And like, maybe somebody like Brandon Ayuk and Devontae Adams would have really given the 49ers and Akella Witherspoon or Josh Norman or whoever it was, like, a lot of problems. Right. So that's a real interesting moment in history. And on top of the fact, like, what would the 49ers offensive line look like if they had Tristan Wirfs in addition to, you know, if they had Tristan Wirfs and Trent Williams on the same offensive line, like,
geez.
They could really, and maybe that offsets Brandon Ayuk going to the Packers, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe the Niners are just so unstoppable running the ball and protecting the quarterback that it's like, so anyway, I was just looking at that because basically, like, Jordan Love went to the Packers in large part because the 49ers jumped ahead of him to take Brandon Ayuk, if you believe the reporting, which I tend to do.
Okay. Hang on. I want to further your point here. In that 2021 divisional game, Aaron Jones, the running back, had 10 targets, 9 catches, 129 yards. Devontae Adams, the wide receiver, 11 targets. Here are the other players who got targets in that game. Alan Lazard, wide receiver, had 1. Randall Cobb, wide receiver, had 1. He didn't catch it. Lazard had 1 catch for 6 yards. 106-year-old tight end Mercedes Lewis had 1 catch for no yards, and then he fumbled. Something named Dominique Daphne had a target. It's a tight end. Dominique Daphne had 2 targets. You're not going to have him on the field and only target him one time. And the other target went to another tight end who's apparently still in the league with the Packers. The great Josiah DeGuara, of course, out of the University of Cincinnati, a 2020 third round pick. That's who caught passes or got targets for the Packers in that game. See, I think Brandon Ayuk would have helped.
Probably would have helped more than Jordan Love in that game.
Well, that, you know, who's to say, really?
But no, so I was thinking about that, like, Jordan Love starting against the Niners in a playoff game. Brandon Ayuk obviously going against the Packers. Javon Kinlaw coming in getting rotational snaps.
Maybe.
I just think, you know, like, I wonder what history would look like had the Niners just not traded back that one spot, not ended up with Brandon Ayuk, have Tristan Wirfs solidifying that offensive line. And then, you know, what does it look like? Do they take, let me look here.
I have no idea. Maybe we get more first and second in Juwan.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, do they take, gosh, I don't know.
They definitely draft a receiver, in my opinion.
at 31. Like, I don't know. Is T. Higgins a, I mean, T. Higgins has been good. I don't know if he's like a Kyle Shanahan type receiver, but maybe he's
I have no idea.
Do they take Jonathan Taylor and then never end up needing Christian McCaffrey?
I don't think they would have taken a running back in the first round. Maybe they draft Jordan Love.
Ooh, spicy. That's interesting. And then maybe they don't need to trade up for Trey Lance.
And then maybe they wind up with Micah Parsons. Oh.
And never end up with Brock Purdy. Man, this is...
Look, alternate timeline 49ers are 8-time Super Bowl champions, all right?
at least, yeah.
All right.
Man, that's mind-blowing stuff. That's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. We were talking about that on the radio today. Different, sliding doors moments in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I thought about Steph Curry for Amari Stoudemire was a draft night trade that was on the table. And then the Warriors tried hard as heck to trade Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. And Jerry West nixed that idea. Man.
Yeah.
Wild. Anyways.
Jerry West, one of the best stupid proofers in sports history.
Oh, just a legend. Just a total legend.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. It's Kyle from Candlestick Chronicles, and I want to tell you about Factor. Now, we're far enough into the new year that maybe you're starting to wane a little bit on your resolutions. Maybe you wanted to take a little bit better care of yourself. Maybe you wanted to eat better, and you're going, man, you know what? Work and life gets so busy. I don't have time to grocery shop. I don't have time to meal prep. I don't have time to do all that. Factor takes that off the table for you with ready-to-eat meal delivery that takes all the stress out of meal planning, and it sets you up for success in the new year. They have calorie-smart options. They have vegan options. They have veggie options. They have keto options. And then there's like 55 weekly add-ons, so you'll have a ton of nutritious and flavorful options to kickstart your resolutions. One of my favorite Factor things are the smoothies. They have fruit smoothies. They have like a mango and a tropical fruit and a strawberry banana that are delicious. They also have protein shakes that are fantastic. I really enjoy the espresso one. It is a delicious way to start the day. So look, I'm always trying to find ways to skip the trap of overpriced takeout, whether it's getting it delivered or whatever. Factor helps. Factor, I open my fridge, there's a meal right there, I throw it in the microwave or in the oven, whatever you prefer, and I throw mine in the microwave, it's ready to go in a couple of minutes, and I have a delicious, nutritious meal right in front of me, and it wasn't a headache to plan, it wasn't a headache to cook, and I didn't have to shop for anything. That's why Factor is the very best. Head to factormeals.com/candlestick50 and use code candlestick50 to get 50% off. That's code candlestick50 at factormeals.com/candlestick50 to get 50% off.
Yo, it's your homies Kyle and Chris for Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops because they have some really cool looking stuff that your bland ass boy over here is not very good at styling on his own. And so I pop over to the Instagram. I see how other people are dressing themselves in maybe it's the wolf shorts or the lion shorts, or maybe it's a pair of joggers, or maybe it's the ash gray hoodie that you and I love so much. And I base my outfits off of that, and it always makes me look dope, which is the single most important thing.
And it's also comfortable. It's also high quality. Yeah. It's super stylish. They're conversation starters, honestly. They also have kids sizes on here too.
Yes, that is.
And everything's correct. Unisex. Yeah. We should point out also. So, yeah. No matter if you're a man or woman, these clothes will look great on you.
Or a child. They have children's sizes and a lot of their stuff as well. Use promo code Candlestick20 today to get 20% off your order, or you can do it tomorrow or whenever. Candlestick20 is a promo code any day of the week to get 20% off your order from SGLambChops.com. Shout out to them. We really appreciate their support, and we would appreciate it if you support them by going to SGLambChops.com and ordering some dope, comfortable, high-quality clothing. Join the herd today. You want to do Prize Picks? And get out of
oh
here.
Boy, do I. We're getting right back on the horse this week, baby.
You making it all back this week?
Yeah, making it all back. We're chasing and we're catching. That chicken's been running around the coop.
It's the power play four, baby. Come on.
We're grabbing that chicken after we've been chasing it in the coop for the better half of this.
Is that what you call it now?
Something like that, yeah. Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first?
You can go first. I feel like I always go first. You go first.
All right. It's you know how we do it. It's power play only.
Not gonna get it back if you don't.
Yeah, right. We're not gonna get everything we've lost this season without swinging big in the divisional round. Niners, Packers. I got three picks. Two of them
on
are
demon time?
Picks.
Okay.
It is still demon season. As we know, Brandon Ayuk, I'm going more than 99.5 receiving yards. I'm going Brock Purdy more than a 19-point fantasy score. So that kind of like if he throws two touchdown passes and doesn't have interceptions, I think that's he'll probably eclipse 19 points pretty easily. Another demon pick, George Kittle more than 79.5 receiving yards. So I'm basically betting on the 49ers offense doing work against the Packers defense. And the two guys I'm betting on, I thought about maybe including Deebo Samuel in one of these, but I just don't love the Packers ability to defend George Kittle. And I think Brandon Ayuk is just a dude who might break out in these playoffs in a pretty major way. So with those two demon picks and Brock Purdy, we're looking at a 13.5x payout. So look,
nice.
Like it's been a struggle this season in Prize Picks. Listeners would know. Anybody fading my picks, I have absolutely zero problem with it, given the track record. But you know, we're not shying away from the opportunity here.
No.
We're coming into this with a chip on our shoulder. We understand what's happened to the season. We've evaluated the tape and we've taken a hard look in the mirror just about every week here. But when I look in the mirror and look at my Prize Picks, I see an eventual winner and I feel great about this week. Again, 13.5x power play payout. You have the demon picks of Brandon Ayuk more than 99.5 receiving yards, George Kittle more than 79.5 receiving yards, and Brock Purdy at more than 19 points in the fantasy score. Feel great about it. Feel great about the Niners offense against the Packers defense. And we're winning it all back. And then we're gonna throw it back on the table next week in the championship round, should the 49ers advance, which I think you and I both think they will. And we're gonna make even more money. So shout out to Prize Picks.
Yeah, I can't wait. Prizepicks.com/candlestick. Promo code Candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. It is daily fantasy sports made easy. 2 to 6 players, you pick more or less on their stat projections, and then you watch the winnings roll in, just like Chris is about to, and just like I'm about to, because here's what I'm rocking with this week. I'm going Aaron Jones, no demon picks for me. Aaron Jones, more than 69.5 rushing yards. I think the Packers are going to spam Aaron Jones runs. And I think that Matt LaFleur is a good enough offensive coordinator and offensive designer that he's going to drop a couple explosive plays that get Aaron Jones to the more than 69.5 rushing yard mark. Jordan Love, I'm going to go more than 7.5 rushing yards. He's a really good athlete, and the 49ers have a penchant for losing quarterbacks. And he's not, I wouldn't call him like a running quarterback necessarily, but if you give him a lane in where he can step up and through the pocket, he's going to take it. And 7.5 rushing yards is just not that many for a quarterback. That's one good scramble. So I'm going more than 7.5 rushing yards for Jordan Love. Conversely, Deebo Samuel, I'm going to go more than 16.5 rushing yards. This feels like the kind of game where the Niners, obviously it's a playoff game, and every big spot they go to Deebo. And the Packers' run defense is not good. I think that's partly because their defensive line is not great. I think there's some lack of discipline in the second level from them. And if you lack discipline in the second level, Kyle Shanahan is going to take advantage of that with motion and handoffs to Deebo Samuel. I think 16.5 yards. He might do that in one carry. So I'm gonna rock with Deebo there. Brandon Ayuk, I'm with you. I think we get a big Brandon Ayuk game. I'm gonna go more than 4.5 receptions. And I mean, this is playoff football. I think you're going to lean on your best player, and I think he is their best wide receiver. So I think Brock Purdy is going to look for him early and often. And then Christian McCaffrey, I don't love his rushing yard projection. I think it's 92.5. I want to not hang out at that, but this is one of the benefits of Prize Picks, is it's not just like rushing yards. They have rushing plus receiving yards. They also have rush attempts and then rushing yards in the first five attempts. So I'm going Christian McCaffrey more than 22.5 rushing yards in his first five attempts. That sounds like something he can do. It feels like he always breaks like a 12 or 15 yarder early in the game. And I think that he clears 22.5 rushing yards in those first five carries. Whether the 49ers can continue leaning on him the entire way, TBD, it depends on the game script, but I like that number for CMC. So that is my Prize Picks entry for the divisional playoff matchup between the 49ers and Packers. Again, play along at prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. It's daily fantasy sports, man, but you're not playing against sharp guys. You're not playing against a million other people to try and get your winnings. You make your own entry and you watch the winnings pile up as your entry starts to win. So daily fantasy sports made easy. We love Prize Picks. All right.
Shout
That's
out.
It. Love Prize Picks. Hell yeah.
What's your Niners-Packers prediction?
I think it's going to be a lot of points. And I think the 49ers win something like 30-24. The over-under is 50.5. With a spread
that
of
feels...
with a spread of 9.5, so that's like 30-21-ish. 30-20, 30-21. So I think 30-24 is a good number.
I'm going Niners 38-20.
A beatdown.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a beatdown.
All right.
They're healthy. They're coming off the bye. They're ready to go on a run here.
Was it
say 38... two sacks from Nick Bosa?
Was it? Oh,
Nick Bosa game.
I love that. 37-20 was the NFC title game a couple years ago.
Yeah, we're one up. I don't know that there's going to be a Raheem Mostert performance, and I'm betting that Brock Purdy, not actually betting, but I'm willing to predict that Brock Purdy is going to have more than 8 pass attempts.
Bold.
Hey.
Anyways. Yeah.
Scared money don't make money.
We will be live after the game on YouTube, youtube.com/@candlestickchroniclespodcast, or just search Candlestick Chronicles on YouTube and we will pop up. Hopefully you're already subscribed. That way our video when we're live is just right there for you at the top of YouTube and you'll be able to tap in. We'll be live after the game, win or lose. So make sure to lock in for that. And of course, all the live shows will be on the podcast feed as well. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We would appreciate the heck out of that. And while you're there, rate and review, please, 5 stars. And give us a glowing review so more people listen to our podcast. That'd be great. I think that's all I got.
See you guys Saturday night.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Should be a fun one. Enjoy the game, everybody. Stay safe. Drink Candlestick Chronicles responsibly.